Hello, sacred beings. Welcome to Sacred Sister Podcast. Join us as we normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane.
Expanding consciousness and deepening awareness to support you in leading a life full of healing, meaning, and magic.
I'm your host, Britt Lynn, energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach.
I'm your host, Tana Lina, a certified astrologer, rebirth coach, and sorceress.
If you're brand new here, welcome, beloved. We are so grateful, so happy to have you here. If you're a seasoned sacred being, welcome back. Thank you so much for your support, for your listenership, and we look forward to seeing you in the show.
Let's dive in.
Hello, sacred beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. Hannah and I are so delighted, honored, and excited to be sitting with our guest feature today. Oh my gosh, I have been fangirling over this beautiful woman for such a long time now. We are riveted to invite on this topic of conversation and someone who's just really deeply woven into care and devotion and nurturance in this realm. We welcome on Tiana, the Bug Lady.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited to talk about, you know, what these little tiny cuties mean to me and other people and how they've changed, you know, so many perspectives. So I'm excited to jump in.
Yes, so beautiful. My daughter loves watching your videos. I love watching them too, you know, just like these little cute jumping spiders and how they have all this personality. And it's just such a wonderful, refreshing perspective. And with us being in season 7 here, where we're shifting perspectives and showing the other side of something that is for many people scary, kind of, you know, spiders. It's like, oh, a spider, yeah. You know? And so like shifting it to, oh my gosh, it's so cute with all its eyes and its little fangs and its little hairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People like listening to this, like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? So I'm so excited to be diving into this. And before we're going to do this, I would love for us and our audience here, all you listeners, to just take a moment. Let's close our eyes. Ground ourselves down for a moment. So let's take a deep breath in and let it out. And just really come into this present moment. And I invite you to call in the last time that you saw a spider. When was the last time you saw a spider? And how were you feeling? What came up for you? What did you do? I think sometimes we can be so almost like on autopilot in the way that we're interacting with our surroundings, with our environment, because it's so normal in a sense. And when we see little creatures crawling around, it might shock us. It might be like, oof. And then we may feel into, and this is what I invite you to feel into, is like, where does this come from? This feeling. And maybe you're completely on the other side and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so cute. Or you're like, whatever. We're just connecting with this feeling that we have with the spider and what she represents to us. Whenever you're ready, let's take another deep breath in. Open our eyes back up. And we're ready to dive deep.
You know, oh my gosh, it's so funny. I feel like all these memories are like flooding to me. And it was, when was the last time that I saw a spider? And it was in Hawaii. They're like all over the place, just on trees and just busy at work or like centered right in the middle of their beautiful web. And I was making a lot of videos of spiders weaving out there and just what busy, beautiful artists they are. And it's like, even if you like mess up one of the webs, sometimes they would make them on our car and we would pull out and I'd be like, oh, wanting to like see, like make sure they were going to be okay. And how is the web going to remain intact? And we'd pull away and it was like, they would just immediately start weaving again and be like, no time to waste. Let's get back to making the beautiful structure. It's like, Tiana, I'm so curious. How did all of this unfold for you? What drew you to this realm? And then also what inspired you to start sharing your love for this realm on social media?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I would like to start by saying that I wasn't always okay with being around a spider. You know, this is all, you know, on the newer side. And it kind of fell into my lap. It started with a ladybug, and it's a really cute story because I was at the grocery store, you know, picking out some, you know, organic cilantro. You know, you go to the organic aisle, then you have the little, you know, you can trust it because the bugs like it. So there's no pesticides. So when I'm going to grab some cilantro and I see this tiny little, you know, red and black polka dot, you know, ladybug, and it looked kind of like it was stuck. And so immediately I'm like, I have to save this little ladybug. It's stuck on the cilantro. So I'm like guarding the cilantro, you know, nobody come over here. This is my section until I figure this out. So I'm Googling because I zoom in on my phone and I see it sitting on something. And I find out that it was actually sitting on like a wasp egg. So there's a whole bunch of information behind that, but I find this out while I'm in the store. I'm like sweating out of just kind of like new information and figuring out like, I got to save this little being. And so I take a little piece of the cilantro leaf. I take my cart and I go to the checkout stand and I say, I'm taking this cilantro leaf with me if that's okay. And she's like, okay, crazy lady, you know, awesome. Cool. So I get home and I tell my husband, please come get the groceries. I have to save a ladybug. He's like, okay, normal Tiana behavior. And so I separate this ladybug and this, this egg, and I keep both of them. So, you know, if they survive, they survive, but I separated them because the ladybug literally looked like it needed some help. And I ended up taking care of her, for weeks. And I initially shared that story on, you know, TikTok where I'm like, I saved a ladybug and I don't know what to do. And everybody kind of became so invested in this ladybug. And I'm like, you guys are like me. You know, I thought I was the only one. And so I end up kind of taking care of this ladybug for a period of time. And I told myself, if she opens her wings and ever flies again, then I'm going to set her free. And after about 6 weeks of caring for her and her hanging out with me every night, and I would just like zoom in on my camera and, you know, all of the world of TikTok was kind of like, we love her. They named her Lady Berry because her first meal was a berry with me, you know? And so everybody became invested in this cute, tiny little ladybug that you can see wanted to live. And so there's a whole new perspective about these tiny little beings. And so eventually, though we all fell in love with her, I promised that if she wanted to fly, I would let her go. So I took her to the near park and we all watched her, you know, get up on, you know, my finger and fly away. And we all cried. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And after that experience, it changed my whole perspective about little things. And I've always been interested in general. You know, if I saw a moth struggling, I would help it. But not spiders, not bees, you know. And funny thing is, the next two experiences that I had were, you know, a bumblebee and then eventually a spider. So kind of similar experiences where I saved a bumblebee at the beach and I picked it up with sand underneath it so that it didn't touch my hand, but slowly the sand leaked through my hand. And then it was just me and this bumblebee, and the bumblebee curled over and just kind of took a nap in my hand. And I immediately fell in love with it. It was just this fuzzy little fluffy ball, this little, you know, black and yellow, cute little striped thing. And I'm like, whoa, you're not going to hurt me? And that moment again reminded me of how I can connect with something so tiny. And there was like a mutual trust. Mm-hmm. It trusted me and I trusted it. And so it was kind of like humbling. And it hung out with me for a few days while we were camping, and it stayed on the little plant that I put it on. I thought it was going to be gone the next day, but it came back out the next morning and it was almost waiting there for me. And I'm like, I love you, little bumblebee, you know? So I had a unique experience with that one. And then that's where the jumping spiders came in. So I am in the process of writing children's books now. And I was sitting out on this wall writing my book, and a tiny little jumping spider crawled its way up to the side of the wall and just kind of looked up at me. And I'm like, I just remember seeing those when I was doing research on insects. And I got my camera and I zoomed in because it's little tiny eyes. And I just saw that it was just staring at me, but out of almost in a curious way. It was like, what are you? And it wasn't scared. It wasn't running the opposite direction, but it was curious. And I'm like, you have a brain. You're thinking right now. You're trying to figure me out. And I want to figure you out. Again, let's do this whole thing again. So I said, I'm going to trust this. I'm going to put my hand out and see if it'll jump on my hand. And then it jumped, and it just jumped between fingers, and it paused and turned its body and looked up at me, and I fell in love. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need one of these. I need one of these immediately. So then I started doing more research. And then eventually that's how I ended up with my own first two jumping spiders, which were Rose and Onyx, and my life changed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like the cutest story ever.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, it's so funny because I'm now thinking and I'm like, what's up with the perceptions that all of us are holding about these tiny creatures? It's like witnessing it through this lens and hearing the vibrancy in your voice and hearing just the depth of meaning and like the epiphanies that were going off inside of you, it makes me really question. And I immediately, I'm thinking of, did any of you watch the movie Arachnophobia when you were young?
Mm-mm.
It's like a movie from 92 or 97.
Oh yeah.
And it's this, it's kind of like that movie Outbreak, where the monkeys are spreading this like virus and it winds up like taking out, it becomes like a whole global pandemic. Arachnophobia is kind of similar, where this, isn't it like a lab spider or something, gets mutated into like this killer spider, and it's like taking out this whole town, and they have to like eradicate the species. And of course, these spiders are the biggest, most creepiest looking things ever. So ferocious.
Yeah.
And for me, I watched that movie a lot. I don't know why, when I was like 7, 8 years old. But that totally incepted itself. And then It's like, for everyone here thinking, think back to what some of your first memories of life were. Probably someone was fearful of spiders, taught you to be fearful of spiders. Mm-hmm. Maybe you walked through a web and it felt creepy. Mm-hmm. It's like so fascinating, because what I heard you say in sharing that story is like this moment of trust,
mm-hmm.
like unexpected trust.
Absolutely. I think that it cleared misunderstandings that I had created in my own head based on things that I had seen or heard or even experienced. You know, one spider bite doesn't mean that the millions and millions and millions that are out there are going to attack you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it really was, for me, eye-opening to be able to see that, wow, what I've thought all of these years that I've been alive wasn't correct, you know? And it took me trusting the process, you know, to to want to learn about them and want to change my perspective. And, you know, I allowed myself to be curious. And, you know, I think we mentioned earlier a little bit, but there's like a, we don't give ourselves time to, we're in a, you know, hustle and bustle, and a bug is a bug, you know, a spider is a spider. And we don't take time to kind of zoom in and look at how beautiful this creation is, right? It's this beautiful little being who has a little brain, who thinks, who's processing. And a lot of people have had this misunderstanding that spiders, they don't have brains. They just, you know, they work like robots, and it's instinct. And, but I think what's so surprising is that the time that I've been able to spend with them has proven otherwise. Mm. I've loved to see how, though there might be some research on Google, that because of the, you know, almost 2 years that I've had them, I've been able to learn so much more from just pausing and observing and feeling the connection. No one can tell me otherwise, right? I feel that this spider is trusting, is curious, is thinking, it's intelligent, you know, it's an intelligent little creature. And so I've learned that over this time. And like I said, it's changed my perspective. It's changed the way that I view even people. It's changed so much just being able to take the time to pause and connect, you know? And I think for other people, I've learned that going along with the idea of phobias, that those are created from potentially a negative experience, potentially a parent or family member or someone you were close to that had a fear. So suddenly you end up picking up these fears. But it's not something that can't be reversed. And it just takes that commitment to wanting to know the truth about your fear and where it comes from, and then adjusting it as you learn, and being okay with it, not sticking with, no, I'm just scared, it is what it is. But, well, you know, I think that you and this little cute creature deserve the chance to change that, you know? So that's what I've been hoping to do for people with my page. Didn't start that way, but that's where it's been led, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, so beautiful. And now it makes sense that you call yourself the bug lady, because it started with the ladybug.
Exactly. You caught on to that. You know, people have said, you know, you have spiders, but you call yourself the bug lady. You caught on to that. Yes. I was going to, you know, early on, I was like, I had my name as my page name, but I was like, no, I want it to be meaningful. And I didn't want to call myself the ladybug. Right. And I'm like, the bug lady, and then everything that comes with that.
Beautiful. You know, Tiana, there's so much to say. Where do I go? In what direction? I'm so grateful. It seems like I can tell that you have a very curious nature to you. And it's so beautiful the ways that we generally find our guests, the things that they find most inspiring and vibrancy making in their lives, they tend to notice about the world too. And then when they notice these things, they can lift them up and help others see them in a way that maybe they never have before. Mm-hmm. And I love how you mentioned the curiosity of the spider. And I've gone through just so many of your videos so many times, and I love how you highlight these really small, seemingly small traits, these like little personifications.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned something really valuable a couple minutes ago that I want to bring to a bigger stage here. It's like these little beings, when researched in a lab, the energy that they're approached with is a very different one that's much more oriented toward like gaining measurements or, you know, a very literal, very scientific way of looking at anything.
Right.
And I love that you just mentioned kind of this very interactive way of reformulating the relationships that we have with these creatures, mm-hmm. because you come from a very human perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I've learned you know, anybody can go on Google and type in like, what is a jumping spider? And how do they, you know, move around? And what do their eyes do? And how do they, what do they eat? You know? But for me, you know, having them, because I'm a very curious person who, you know, I can get lost in just staring at a bug for hours and examining how they move and work and everything. But then being able to take all of those moments of connection where they turn and they look and they tilt their head when you talk to them. And those are things that you don't necessarily, you can't really find that unless, you know, you've seen it. And so for me, you know, almost 2 years of interacting with jumping spiders, they are like pets that people never knew could be a pet, but to me, they're friends, you know? To me, literally, I view these tiny little beings as my little friends, my tiny besties, literally. Because the way that we interact, you know, I take care of them and they take care of me in a way that they probably don't understand, or maybe they do. Maybe they're like, you know, seem happy, you know, they feel safe with me and I feel safe with them. You know, they have favorite spots. They'll climb up to my shoulder and they'll turn around and they'll take a little nap right there on my shoulder. And, you know, I'll be talking or I'll be singing. And sometimes they'll even get a little closer because, you know, they have hairs. They don't have ears. They have hairs that vibrate with sound. And so they can feel, you know, when people say, oh, spiders don't hear, but I can be interacting with my spider. And as soon as I say, hey, turn around, they'll literally turn around. So it's not hearing in the way that we do, but it's more of a feel. They know where, you know, sound is coming from and they'll look up and examine. And what has always intrigued me about jumping spiders is that they make eye contact. And to some people that might not be a big deal or, you know, it could not make sense, but eye contact is a way to connect. They're not looking at my hand that's moving over here. They're looking at my eyes. And to me, that means that these tiny little beings understand that we are something that they're interested in and they want to learn from, you know? So I have learned so much just from those tiny moments of interaction of them turning and tilting and examining and coming up to get closer to me and then looking up at my face while I'm like, wow, you just wanted to come and just say hi. And their little arms are waving. I'm like, you're trying to communicate with me right now. And I understand that to be that you just are trying to say hi and you want to say that we're safe together. The more that we continue these conversations, that people can say, wow, let me pause, not address this fear, but like address it in a safe way where I'm going to trust the process, give this little thing a chance. And I have watched people's lives literally change. You know, people who have been arachnophobic for 40 some odd years, you know, I get messages all the time where they say, I literally never thought a day in my life I would think a spider was even cute. And now I own 10. And I'm like, wow, you own 10. And they're like, holding them and sending me photos. And they're just like, me and my family go out now to the park and look for spiders. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And it's because those people trusted that they can address those, you know, misconceptions and their lives have literally adjusted because of it, you know?
It's so powerful. Like the work that you do is so impactful. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for following that call. And what I'm hearing out is like this deep soul connection that you have with spiders and they feel it too. Like I love how the spider approached you. Like literally it didn't even come to you. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy some spiders now and connect with them.
Yeah.
It's like the spider that came to you and created eye contact. And I love how you mentioned that with the eye contact because the eyes are the mirror of the soul. So it's like this deeper, it goes deeper, right? And the way that we communicate with them is also through the soul, through the emotions, through the feeling, rather than the actual, you know, analytical words that we say in English and they have to translate it or whatever. No, it's like you can communicate with these beings on such a school level, and it's such a beautiful gift of yours. And they immediately saw that in you too. Like they know, they see you and they're like, she understands us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something that I didn't know. Sometimes I think back and I'm like, how did I get to this point of where I've inspired, you know, millions of people to change their perspective about spiders? But at the same time, I think that, you know, as a child, to dive into this piece here, I feel that nature was my escape from, you know, just things that you kind of deal with that you suppress, and being able to kind of see life around me, functioning life, always intrigued me. And it literally was nature in general was my way of kind of healing with things that I've been through as a young girl, you know? And so growing up, I've always kind of fallen back to, you know, like if I could, I would live in a treehouse. I, you know, I live in the city of LA, but I don't want to. I would prefer to be barefoot and climbing a tree, you know? That's where I feel so safe and cozy and free of everything. And so I've always felt in some way connected to all the little things. But along the way, I have adjusted my thinking about ones that were misunderstood. And I'm just so happy that now I can be used in that way to help people to, adjust, you know, adjust their thinking as well. Cause you know, like I don't know how others would have been able, sometimes you, like you said, that hustle and bustle of life, you know, the last thing that you're trying to fix is your fear of a spider, you know, you're trying to just live. But when you take that time to fix that fear and you gain a new understanding, it really does just your day-to-day, your whole, the mind is so powerful. And those small adjustments that you end up making a huge, huge impact in you and in your being, you know? So I'm just grateful that I can help people in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like when you just were saying about, you know, just like tuning in and being present with the little things and noticing them. Mm. Like spiders can show up to us in such a, I know Britt and I, we've had all kinds of experiences with spiders where it like correlates with what we are currently moving through. And the spider is coming in as a messenger that helps us even tune deeper into, oh, okay, what does the spider archetype mean to me? What does it mean to be a spider? What does the spider do? Mm-hmm. And how can I maybe learn from them? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's like the spider showing up into my life right now because there is something for me to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, interesting, a story that someone shared with me recently, she said that her fear of spiders, unfortunately, she learned after, you know, following my page, but her fear of spiders was almost like a trigger to some personal things that she had experienced in her life, where, you know, a spider randomly appearing is uncomfortable, you know? And because of things that she had been through, you know, that random appearance of a spider would trigger the memories that she had. And she took that and realized that it was something that she needed to address. Mm. And that experience of constantly being reminded of, you know, some trauma or some, you know, things from your past, she said, I'm at the point now from kind of realizing that that fear is triggered by that, that I need to address it. I need to conquer my fear of spiders. I need mm-hmm. to get to know them and dive in to understand that like these random appearances don't mean that they're here to hurt me. They're just existing, you know? And if you take away that I'm going to be harmed by this idea, there is that more comfort, that safe feeling, that we all can have with, you know, interacting, you know, if there's a spider in the corner, it's not seeking you out, you know? And so she's been able to heal from past trauma. I cried when she shared this with me. I was just like overwhelmed with the fact that adjusting that thought of a fear can also have a ripple effect of other things that you've been bottling up. And now she owns spiders. And this person who was like so afraid and would, you know, be reminded of her other, you know, traumas now owns them and is like, I'm healing, you know? Man, every time I think of that story, it just warms my heart to know that you can heal from these traumas that we have by just kind of taking it in and looking at the beauty in it, you know? So yeah, it's amazing. I would have never thought, I'm looking at this boy right here, eat. I was going to bring him out earlier, but I put a little cricket in there and he's eating it right now. I'm going to show you this little tree house that I made.
Oh, let me open this up. You know, these remind me of little fairy houses too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's right there. Wait, there it is. He's right there eating his little cricket.
Oh.
This is Toby. He's adorable.
Hi, Toby.
Say hi, boy. Look at him from this way. Hold on. You might be able to see his little face. There he is looking at you. He has his little lunch.
Oh my gosh.
But he's so cute. And I never would have thought I would say that spiders are cute, but here we are.
Here we are indeed. Am I correct in thinking that you create, that you structure these habitats and that people are able to purchase them from you as well?
Yeah. Yep. I create them in this way specifically because I want them to still feel like they're in nature, you know? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, it's a tree house and then they have like the organic moss on the bottom and a tree and like a bench and little pine cones and stuff. And, they all like love their little homes. So, I started, you know, people, when I would share them, you know, with people, they would say, oh, I want one of those. And I'm like, you guys want to buy these? You know, they're like, yeah, I want mine to have that. So, yeah, I started selling them. It's hard to keep up though, because, you know, I have a full-time job. Taking care of my spiders and sharing them with the world is just something that I do on the side to just kind of, just share, you know, it's not even really anything that I'm trying to like gain from other than just, changing perspective. So, yeah, it's like the demand is there. My time isn't. So I'm trying to make it work.
Would this be something like a dream job of yours to like fully devote yourself to spiders and in this realm?
I think storytelling, right? For me, being able to not necessarily devote full time to spiders specifically, but telling the story of and helping people conquer fears and, you know, more on that side. At this point, you know, it's so much bigger than just spiders, right? There's so much more that I feel like I've taken away from having them. And that is that people, if they just give time to changing perspectives, having a better understanding, pausing and being exposed to many things, right? I feel like having them, they've taught me that I can be that in some way for people. And, you know, I work for a nonprofit. So the program that we work for, it's called After School All-Stars Los Angeles. And we provide free comprehensive after-school programs to 65 schools in Los Angeles for students who are underserved. And so what's amazing is I have an opportunity to kind of help tell their stories too, to those who want to support. And, you know, so I have different partners that come in and help the students. And the next thing I'm going to do though is expose some students to some spiders. So I'm so excited because I think that that'll be a really great experience for the kids. it's elementary through high school. So we're trying to figure out the best way to, you know, get a spider into someone's hand for the first time and slowly help the students to start conquering their fears. So, yeah.
Wow.
So powerful. That's so cool.
And I know that you just recently went to an expo as well, mm-hmm. the very first expo.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. You know, it was like, on a whim, you know, I was just like, oh, man, I wonder if there are any expos, and I Googled, and then there was one coming up in like a month from that point. And I said, I'm just going to jump in and do it. And, so I got to meet a lot of people who live locally that, you know, follow me or now own spiders, and they're like, I'm coming to see you, you know? And then some people who didn't necessarily know me, but, you know, got to purchase spiders while I was there. And, you know, I was there to just kind of show all the little kids that were there, they're putting their hands out. And I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. So I would hold their hand and then give them a spider. And it was just amazing to watch like the group of people just continuously surrounding the booth. And they're like wanting to learn. And I'm like, you guys want to learn, you guys want to fix these fears, you know? And so it was awesome. It was definitely a great experience to be there and experience that with them.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful. I feel like I've officially teared up 4 times in this episode. And I feel like just featuring you and inviting you onto the podcast has really like brought this new awareness into my own awareness of just how much spiders mean to me. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because even though physically I haven't necessarily started conquering these fears, and because I work with spider energy so deeply, it hasn't necessarily translated to the physical realm. And I'm like really curious to begin endeavoring that as well. I mentioned to you before this call or before we started recording that my sister is just a massive fan of yours. So this morning I called her and I was like, Charity, what if I wanted to get a jumping spider? How would you feel about that? And I was like, would you want to hold one or anything? And she was like, oh, this would be so much fun. Like, by the way, you have to let Tiana know that Charity and Luca are her biggest fans. So there you go, Charity and Luca, you got your shout out.
Hi, Charity and Luca.
Whenever I told Charity that we had contacted you, she lost it. She sent in, literally, I have a list here of probably 20 questions, and they're so good. I'm going to get into asking some of those in just a minute.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to share a little bit of my own process with spiders and this whole archetypal way that we can work with them too. Mm. I have no specific genus, but I have this.
Oh, wow.
This tattoo here. And I just got a moon and some stars on the inside of it.
Wow.
So, and I also have this spider card has been on my altar for, or just even my sacred space here in my office for, gosh, it's super faded. It's been here for probably 3 years. Like this is my animal. This is my creature that just guides me through life in so many ways. And I think this is such a fun part about when we look at the natural world and we have an appreciation or a fear of these creatures, we can also look to a lot of their indigenous roots and the ways that they've been looked at through different cultures and tribes and just peoples over the course of a lifetime or the course of history. And yeah, this is where a lot of the importance has come in my realm. So it all started with my grandfather, my mom's dad, my grandpa Eddie. He had been to jail a couple times, and one of the trips to jail, he had gotten a tattoo on his left forearm, which is where I got this tattoo, and it was a little spider. And his little spider just had a couple legs, like wasn't anatomically correct, but all of us knew that he had this tattoo. And he passed in a really traumatic way from alcohol in my parents' backyard in a fire. And that set the whole course for the spider really entering my life. After he passed away, my mom and I said that we always wanted to get a tattoo to memorialize him and get it in the same spot that he had had his spider tattoo. And then my mom got sick as a result of witnessing that traumatic death, and she wound up having to go on blood thinners, and then she wasn't able to get the tattoo because she was on blood thinners. And then sadly, in 2019, my mom wound up passing away from a bone marrow transplant that her body wasn't able to intake. Mm. And as soon as she passed, I was like, oh, it's time. It's time to get the spider. And it took on this whole other energy in my life of like witnessing the way that the spider weaves. It's so fascinating to see how different genus of the spider interact with their webs in different ways. Some don't ever tear their web down, and they continue building the web through their entire lifetime if it's undisturbed. Some wake with the day and tear their web down and rebuild every single day. Some rebuild just sections. Some add on to sections, take away from sections. And I really started witnessing spiders like I do people, like how all of us have this very individual signature and imprint, the way that we like approach our lives. And some people are like these weavers that just keep building onto their web. And some are these real creatives that like make these really intricate designs and, you know, like to burn things to the ground or completely start over sometimes. And yeah, after my mom passed away, I got this tattoo. I actually had some of her ashes put into the tattoo ink. So I decided in the shop, I was like, ooh, what if a web was coming out and it wrapped around my arm, and that symbolized like how my mom and this familial trauma is like helping me weave what I create my life to be. Mm-hmm. And it allows that spider energy to live through me. So I love how you were sharing earlier about this woman's inception to approach healing and trauma from such a seemingly insignificant, you know, source.
Yeah.
But it's like these are some of the I experience them as very mystical creatures. Mm-hmm. Like any animal in the animal kingdom has its own mystical relevance. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is what spider energy is to me, just like the weaver that's helping us really consciously think about what we create our lives to look like and always giving us the insight that we're able to start over anytime that we want to.
Yeah, I really appreciate you opening up and sharing that story and that experience, you know, and then your perspective of how all the different spiders weave differently and what that means. I think for me, when you said that, I've always considered the fact that they're all working, right? They're working on something. And I think that they're all working on something, though it's different. It also addresses that each of us as people, you know, there's always going to be things that we individually have to look at. They might be different. Mine might be different from you and you and you, but because we all have different lives. But we do need to take that time to kind of understand what those things are and work on them and fix them, you know, work hard like the spider, like the ant, like the bumblebee, you know. That constant movement has always been something that I've really loved, and you sharing that story about how the spiders mean a lot to you and why. And I feel like it just is eye-opening to how we can really pay attention to those things and identify, you know, how we can learn from them and grow with them, you know. So thank you. I appreciate you opening up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I want to, just before you comment on that too, because I know that Charity is listening to this right now, and I really want to honor her in joining me and getting a tattoo of a spider as well. It actually, after my mom passed, it was myself, Charity, my mom's brother, who was her stem cell donor, and two of our cousins all came together and we were like, wow, we want to not only memorialize Grandpa Eddie, but we want to really honor Jerry in this as well, because yeah, my mom really, really always wanted to get that tattoo. Mm-hmm. And she was really sad that she wasn't able to. So do you ever hear words like personal transformation and spiritual expansion, but don't quite know what that consists of or how to get started? Today, I have a very special invitation for you as two beautiful 40-minute free freebies have launched within the Hello Self world. My intention in creating these freebies was to make personal transformation and spiritual expansion approachable and inviting for everyone and anyone who wishes to enter the space. If you're more of a masculine learner, someone who loves diving into information based on pragmatic approaches, logic, detail-oriented, notation-taking, more of a student type of mindset who wants to sit down, learn, and loves a methodical process in order to do so, you're going to want to gain access to the 7-pillar process of transformation, the 40-minute training that really takes you into what the 7 pillars of transformation are and how you can begin endeavoring these processes today, right now, in your own life. I've had clients give feedback to me that this free training alone has implemented absolutely life-changing results, and it's been a beautiful initiation process for them to begin dipping toes in the Hello Self world. If you find yourself as more of a feminine learner, someone who loves to feel deeply into an experience, to visualize, who loves guided meditations, who loves really sinking themselves into a process, then Adventure Your Inner Self Landscape is for you. Adventure Your Inner Self Landscape is a 40-minute guided meditation in which I take you through this really beautiful experience as you begin to literally adventure your own inner self mapping system, gaining awareness over what your current environment, climate, ecosystem, landscape really looks like, adorning yourself to adventure a process, witnessing the future timeline that you're striding toward, and beginning to endeavor that journey. Both of these freebies are so power-filled, and I'm really excited to offer them to you. To gain access to these awesome freebies, go to my Instagram at Britlyn Rising and click on the link in my bio, or you can head over to my website at britlynlabuff.com. You can also find the links to download in the episode description of this episode. Enjoy, and may your personal transformation process and pathway be power-filled, illuminating, and deliver you to turn your wildest dreams into your most abundant reality. I just wanted to put that out there as well.
And I love this, that the spider is so prominent in your family, because you have such strong webs in each of your family members. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I wanted to share too about my very first kind of traumatic experience with an insect that I still remember. Mm. And yeah, I was 6 years old, and we were in elementary school, and we were coming home from school, and there was this boy that I found him a little, you know, cute, and I was like, oh, he's my friend. But then we like would walk beside this house, and then I'd be like, oh, look, there's a ladybug. And there was like this cute ladybug walking up the wall. And what he did, he would just smash it and kill the ladybug. And I was shocked. That was such a traumatic experience for me. And he was a 6-year-old boy, you know. And it was nothing for him. He's just like, I'm going to smash it. And I still remember this to this day, this moment where I was like, that sense of almost like that innocence, that where I realized, wow, not everyone sees life as valuable. Mm. Because for me personally, I've always seen animals as my friends. Mm-hmm. All animals, you know, like I see their soul. It's like literally you look into their eyes, you're like, we're one. I'm like, we're just like in different bodies, but we're friends. And to see that it's so normalized in our society to kill insects on a regular basis, mm-hmm. so easily, and even call them pest. We're literally living in front of like our neighbor, our opposite neighbor of the street is like, has this van, it's called pest control. So I'm like, every single day I see this huge van that says pest, and then it has spiders on it and scorpion, sure. you know, and we live in Las Vegas in a desert, and I get it, you know, it's
Black widows
and stuff. And sometimes you do have to, you know, do some stuff to, you know, protect yourself and protect your family, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wonder how that is for you when you miss that sort of like, oh, I can just like kill them. And if that's something, if that was already part of your life before, and then you realize, oh, wait, why am I even doing this? Mm-hmm. And then the other question is, have you ever noticed that within other kids? Because I'm still wondering. There are some kids that it's just like, that's just normal to like smash the bugs.
Yeah. I've been training my family and friends now to not, you know, kill bugs, animals, obviously animals. But I think that that misconception there is that people don't view these spiders as the same. They're very, you know, easily dismissible and like, doesn't matter. But I personally, I can't handle it when I see people kind of hurt the spiders. I'm viewed as empath, you know, I say that with quotes, because, you know, it's just, some people have their own perception. Even when you were saying like, oh, how do you feel? I started kind of feeling like I was going to cry because I feel like that misunderstanding and that not caring about them. They're innocent, you know, and they're created. They're beautiful. And they are making such a large impact for people. Like you can see, it's not me, like people are following my page for the spiders, right? So in how I communicate about them, yes, but it's them. It's they're the ones making the impact. I'm helping, you know? And I think that, you know, them not being given the chance to be understood, like you're just robbing that. It's just not fair to them or you, you know? And that's why I go back to saying that I really feel that if there's fears that they have to be addressed, you can't just live in, well, I'm just afraid. It is what it is, you know? Well, why are you afraid? Let's fix that and watch your life change. I view them as just as precious now, didn't always, but now as, you know, an animal, a pet, like a cat, a dog, you know, if something was to happen to one of them, if one of them was to be lost, I would feel very sad, you know, like an animal that someone else has. So, that's why I say like, because of that connection that we can have with them, that they deserve just as much care as, you know, the pets that you have. They need to be given as much time that we give, you know, the animals that we're exploring or, you know, you hold a cat on your lap and you just bond with them. And that's why I hold all of my spiders, because I don't just want them to look at, you know, I want to connect. I want to, every time that I've held a bug or an insect is when I felt like, we're connecting and you're looking at me while I'm talking to you. This is so new, you know? And you know, we have to explore that. We have to find time. You don't have time, find time. Because you know, it's worth it. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me of was it Onyx who crossed over?
Yeah.
And you have this beautiful story, and he was in love with Rose, and he wanted to visit her, but she was shedding, or like she was going through like...
Yeah. So because they were my first two spiders, I didn't know a lot yet. And Google doesn't really provide a lot of information, honestly. Mm-hmm. And if they do, it's all misinformation. It's so many different things say different things. So,
yeah.
So with them, I was new at having spiders, and I didn't really know a lot about, you know, how old they had to be to like be together. And, but when I received them, I was told that they were the same age, but that ended up not being true because, that just wasn't true. And so Rose was younger than Onyx. And so when Onyx would try to spend time with her, she was like, just wait, you know, like I have to like have my last molt. And so she would never do anything. She would not try to bite him, nothing. Like the way they interacted was so unique, because people always say like the females are more aggressive and they can, you know, kill the male and this and, you know, but because like I said, because I was new, I had them interact in ways that like, I don't think that a lot of people have had theirs interact, because I was just learning. And so I'm like, you guys go hang out, you know? And they would just like, she's telling him like, no, get away from me. But she would never be aggressive towards him like that. She would just be like, no, not right now. Like, and walk away. And I'm like, this is a whole like movie. This is a whole, you guys have a literal unique relationship. And so he would turn around and he would be upset, and he would throw his hands up, and his little head, his little bald, shiny little head would be like, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. Then he actually got sad. And oh, there was this whole thing with them. And I've even had them together in the same habitat, where he would be on one part of the web and she would come out on the other and like look down, and then like she would tap him on his head, like, and then she'd go back and hide.
And I was like, is this normal? It's like a soap opera, like a saga.
Hanging out in the little tree hammock together, bonding. And, you know, unfortunately, the saddest part of the whole story is that he didn't make it. He died 2 days before she ended up coming out of her last molt. And she immediately remembered him. She was looking for him. She would like go to the edge of her habitat and look at where his used to be. And it was so sad to see. I didn't even know that spiders interacted that way, but I witnessed it. So, but to see her looking for him and being like, where's my friend? They used to always kind of go to the side of the enclosure and interact with each other. And so, but you know, Onyx, he cured a lot of people's arachnophobia. A lot of people loved him and cried when he died. And people were like, I'm crying over a spider. Like when I go back to my old video and I look at people's comments and they're just like, I never thought I would cry over a spider. And here I am sobbing that Onyx is dead. You know, who would have thought you'd cry as like a whole people coming together and crying over a spider named Onyx, you know? So amazing. It blows my mind. It blows my mind, literally. But you know, that's what they're worth. And again, when you give it that time, you can see how they change you. So, yeah.
That brings tears to both of us. I see, Brett, you too.
That was the first time that one actually rolled down my face. I was like, well, it took long enough. You know, thank you so much for sharing that story. It's like, yeah, you bring new life to these everyday, seemingly mundane elements that many of us can have, you know, a wild relationship with, or rather not so wild a relationship, but a very tame and stagnated story with. I wanted to talk about the first piece that I ever saw of yours. I probably watched it for like an hour and a half. I like sent it to my husband, sent it to my sister. It was when Jade had a lay, how do you say, like a sack, egg sack. And she, I'm even gonna get like emotional now because it's just so cute and sweet that I feel like you really give words to these little beings, and I feel like you can really receive like the things that are going through their heads, and you bring life to it for all of us. That I was thinking, and I was like, wow, would I be able to like get this watching it without like her captions and stuff like that? I don't know that I would be able to right now, just with the way that my relationship is with spiders. But yeah, there was this video where Jade had just laid and she came out of her sack and you were like, oh, you're so skinny. And you like gave her water and she drank the water and then kind of just like sauntered back. She was so tired. And then she looks back at you and she just like takes her little, her little hands, her little paws. I don't even freaking know what those are called. She like closes her little door and she like gives you one last look before she like fully closes it. My husband was tripping out. He was like, wait, what? Like, we would never know because we don't watch these beings live their lives. Mm-hmm. But it makes so much sense that they like have these experiences.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think that thank you for sharing that. I was like literally stopping myself from crying because I'm just like, oh, you know, when I think back at that video, I think that people also don't realize how amazing jumping spider moms are. Mm. They sacrifice eating so that they could stay and protect their babies and make sure that they're warm. And Jade has had so many babies and she's such a good mom. And, you know, there are moments, I have this video that this one actually too makes me, you know, emotional too, because Jade finally, like for the first time, and I think it was like over a month, finally came out of her web. Her babies were inside the web. She was just protecting them. And she finally came out of her web and was kind of propped out. The sun was shining and she's given herself a little bath finally. And she's like feeling all good. Like, oh, okay, fine. I could kind of take a break from the babies, right? And I don't know what it was. I think either one baby almost escaped or something, but she suddenly reacted. Like it was almost as if she heard, you know, or felt the babies. Something's happening. Like they're, you know, crying in a sense. Like the way she reacted was like literally like a jolt. And then she quickly turned her body to go look, and she turned her body and went in, and you see her little butt sticking out. Like she's trying to like tell them to calm down. And then she just goes back in. I think they felt cold or something. Cause what she ended up doing was I zoom in with my camera to try to get into the web. And then she starts like moving her little butt and she's like making little blankets for them. And I'm like, am I witnessing this right now? You took a quick break to come out here and take a little bath. And your main concern is to make sure that your babies are safe. She panicked and ran in and hurried up. And you see the little baby trying to make its way out to come to the camera while I'm recording. And he turns around like, oh, I'm not going out there. I got to go back to my mom. I got to repost that video because honestly, like that video and that interaction she had with her babies was so precious. And then finally, when they were old enough and she had to accept the fact that they were leaving, she pops her head out and watches the very first one leave. And she watches it walk out and she comes out of the treehouse and kind of follows it. And then I have this like photo of the tiny little baby sitting on top of the enclosure, looking in at the mom. And it's just this tiny little speck. And then the mom's like, pretty much coming out to say like goodbye. It is like, I cry over these babies all the time. The things that I learn and witness, because I literally do give them my time. You know, when I'm not working, I'm hanging out with them and I love it. It's like, you're with your best friends. You don't want to be anywhere else, you know? And so that's what I hope to do, is continue to reveal those types of experiences and knowledge with people, to just show how real and how they feel. They actually have emotions and they're very aware. They're not just some like bug that exists, right? They're these, you know, amazing creatures who are extremely aware and intelligent. I love them so much, you know?
You know, this makes me think of Charlotte's Web too, when you were talking especially about them leaving. It's like everyone think back to your childhood, Charlotte's Web, the E.B. White movie that got made into the cartoon. And Charlotte has this sack of eggs, and then the babies start coming out, and it's near the end of the movie, and they go up on the little trellis, and they start releasing these little webs and kind of floating away with the wind. And Wilbur comes up, and he's crying, and he's like, "Charlotte, where are they going? Like, why are they leaving?" And Charlotte, just this wise totem animal that she is, was just like, you know, this is the circle of life, and they're going away to build and make their own families. And I think this is such a, it's like, you've spoken so many times in different ways during this interview to just the wisdom that these little creatures have and how much we're able to witness their wisdom. In so many different ways.
I didn't know how spiders are, especially jumping spiders, are such wonderful moms. When you were sharing the story, I literally teared up. I was like, oh my God, you know, you're being a mom of two. I'm like, I also find myself sacrificing my own needs to protect my babies, you know? It's like, it's part of being a mom. And it's like so beautiful to witness that in a spider too, and how she makes little blankets for them. So I like, this whole time as you were telling the story, I see you creating documentaries of spiders, because literally the nature documentaries that we see, I would say most of them are made by men and narrated by men in a very like more like analytical, logical, you know, factual way. So if like anything that I've seen in like nature documentary, when it's about a jumping spider, it's like, you know, this is how they mate, and this is how, you know, the female is eating the thing, or this is how they get their food. You know, a lot of times it's like violence and action and like, you know, like very like big highlights of their life. You know, but like the little mundane, normal, simple ways of living, and then realizing, wait, they're just like us. They're going through their day. They're, you know, taking care of their babes. They fall in love. They get sad. They, you know, they are approaching someone and they say no. And then they're like, oh no, I'm embarrassed now. Or, you know, or they're like, I want to connect. I want to, you know, talk to you. They have all these personalities. And I think it's such a gift of yours to tell their story. Such a gift of yours. So
thank you so much.
Oh, I love everything you do. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. I appreciate that. And I think that that is, it makes me want to tell their stories even more and from other perspectives. There's so much about them, like you were just listing off, you know, that they have feelings, that they have relationships, that, you know, they play. You know, I caught one of mine playing with his old little food that had hardened. He was playing soccer with it, and he would pick it up and do a spin, and he would drop it and play like a cat. It blows my mind. You know, he was playing soccer, picked it up, spin, drop, pushed it with its little pedipalps, pushing the little thing. Then he'd pick it up again and spin, do a spin, drop. I'm like, am I watching this right now? You're not even eating it. You're just playing with it, you know? And that shocked me. And then there's another video that I posted a while back of one of my spiders that molted, which molting to me is such a beautiful experience because, you know, jumping spiders molt approximately 10, 11, you know, times in their life. And with each molt, after they kind of come out of their exoskeleton, which is what almost like a snake, how they shed skin. Well, in order for a jumping spider to grow, they have to, you know, come out of their old exoskeleton, and they leave these tiny little mini pajamas, I call them, with like little helmets attached. And the little helmets have like these goggles that are like protecting their eyes. They're like 3D goggle type things. And they leave these little exoskeleton pajama helmets everywhere in their, you know, habitats, and I collect them and I just kind of like look at them. They're so cute and tiny, but you're able to see how they're growing, right? And they go almost like a child, but like they go from only being able to eat certain things to, you know, now they're a little bigger, and then they get a little more, you know, their jump is bigger, and that, you know, you just see that growth in them. Mm-hmm. Their curiosity is always there, but you can see as they're older, they're just kind of more like they've seen a lot, you know? But those tiny little, those molts, that growth, I learned so much from watching them. And there was one of my spiders who molted. And after he was done molting, he climbed back underneath his molt and sat under it almost like to say, like, I'm not ready yet. I know I just molted, but can I hold on to my old self for a little longer? I was like bawling my eyes out when I saw that. I'm like witnessing he went directly back to his molt after he kind of felt better. You know, he took a day, and I left his molt in his cup, and he goes over there and almost like picks it up like a dog. And then he like climbs underneath it and adjusts right in the same position of where the molt was to almost have the old self hug him. Mm-hmm. And I am mind blown watching this, mm-hmm. but you're reminding me of like all those tiny things that I capture that the average person doesn't get to see about these little babies that I want people to see, you know, just those unique missed experiences with their personalities and their feelings. And so I'm inspired. Thank you so much for, you know, telling me like do some documentary one day, you know, because it makes me say, like, I do want to tell their stories better, starting here and then going forward.
Yes. And even like, I love that so much, because how many times have we found ourselves in that moment where we're like, I'm not ready for change. I want to be my own self for a little while longer. I want to stay in my comfort zone for a little longer.
Exactly. The world is scary. I want my old self back. I'm going to hide. And then eventually he's like, okay. He even like held on to it for a minute. He climbed up the side and like put his arm over the side of his little exoskeleton. And I'm like, wow, what does this mean? You know, why are you holding, you know, they'll go up to their exoskeleton sometimes and like, look at them. And I'm like, wow, what? You know that you just came out of that and you're examining it and like, oh, I guess it's time to get bigger, you know, looking back and then time to go forward. I'm going to pay closer attention to those little things that mean so much and do a better a job of sharing those too. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. Thank you for pointing that out so I could share all those cute moments with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. This even makes me think of, I love that you mentioned the whole exoskeleton piece, because I didn't even realize that spiders are molting in the same way that like crustaceans and snakes are. But as an added element, I have a 3-month mentorship container where the entire first month that we're working together, I call it Mapping Your Web of Consciousness, and it's guided by spider energy. And I approach these sessions from a space that's very much like self-inquiry based, reflection based, so that people can really gain awareness over like why they're doing certain things and the subconscious programs that they're carrying. And then we transition into month 2 once we've gained really immaculate self-awareness. And that month 2 is guided by the snake. And it's this whole energy of, now that you know where it is that you are, let's shed what's no longer serving. And it's like, how many of us are also feeling those moments of restriction and constriction that we feel so tight in our skin and it's uncomfortable to move in any direction? And it's in those moments that us as conscious beings are able to say like, okay, some shit needs to be assessed here. Like, do I have the courage to endeavor this molting process? It's incredibly vulnerable. And I know that all of us have lived experiences where it can feel like we are in the process of the molt or the shed, and we go and run and hide, and we may not want to reveal ourselves for a while, but it's like all of these ways that the natural world are able to inform our own personal development and spiritual expansion processes that is so, so inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. And on a very like logical perspective too, I'm curious to pivot the conversation in this way and ask a couple of these questions. when you're talking about jumping spiders and whatnot, and then we mentioned some of the more dangerous species or genus of spiders, like, are there some that you don't necessarily work with? Or, like, do jumping spiders, if they bite you, like, would they have poison? And I also want to just mention that you say that with interactions with 400 plus spiders, you've never been bit before.
Yeah.
Huge, huge for everyone listening to know. That's huge.
Yeah, it is. It is. I've actually had closer to 500, probably 500 plus. So Jade herself had 400 plus babies, but I also had Opal, who had two egg sacs with me. And so with her babies, it was around 100 that she had. So with them, and then, you know, the ones that I have, it's been over 500 spiders, and it's not just that I've interacted with each of them one time, right? So some of them I've held hundreds of time at this point, you know, over a year and a half that I've had Rose, and I've held her sometimes every day. And I've never been bit by any of them. So interacted thousands of times over like the 500 spiders I've had and never been bit. And I grab them with my hands, you know, I even close my hand and make little caves for them, and they don't bite me out of reaction. It's, if anything, they love the little cave. They love to climb in my hands, and like, they'll settle in. They're really sweet little beings. As far as other spiders, I haven't had others. Well, I shouldn't say I haven't. I have, for example, my husband went hiking, and then he, there's like something called like a ghost spider. It's like white colored, and it went running on the bed. It came out of his bag. And so I saved it. And I was like, okay, it's probably hungry. So I put it in a little cup, and I put a tiny little mealworm in there, and it went and got the mealworm just like my jumping spiders. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so cute to actually watch it like rip its little legs to the side of the cup while it like grabbed it, because it was a tiny spider. Mm-hmm. But to see how it was, like, oh, I'm hungry, you know? And I wasn't afraid of it. You know, I was able to actually look at this tiny spider that was a new species and say, like, you're so adorable. It was so cute. And so I started, you know, interacting more and more with different spiders, orb weavers, et cetera. You know, I started doing a lot more research. Orb weavers are amazing. And they are the ones who have babies that go floating off into the wind. They'll shoot up, you know, a little web, and they'll, you know, where the wind blows, you know? And so, yeah, it's not that I wouldn't have other spiders. I just haven't really kind of pursued that, because I just have, you know, I have so many, and I don't want to take time away from the ones I have. Mm-hmm. But in general, I have literally, there's only a few spiders that there's somebody that actually owns Black Widows on TikTok. I forget his name, but there's someone who actually has Black Widows as pets, and he holds them. He puts his hand out, they'll climb on his hand, and, you know, like, he interacts with them. When people tell me, oh, but I was bit by a spider before, I always ask them, okay, did it just rappel down from the roof and bite you? Or like, what was happening? And they're like, oh, well, I guess I did kind of reach into like the motor of my thing, and then I like was grabbing something. And so you got bit because like you heard it. It was a reaction to what you did.
Startling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like that understanding of most spiders. 99.9% of spiders aren't just going to bite you just because they're on you. Even you can have a spider in your sweater and like you're walking around, and most of the time you're not going to get bit because you're not hurting it. So I think that understanding too has helped people, because I've had these spiders, I've held them all. I even let them go in my sweater, and they'll make a little web inside and then like cuddle up with me, and they don't bite. You know, they are very aware of the fact that like, I'm not something that they want to bite. They do have venom, which is what they're using. For example, the one that's here eating his cricket, he injects a little bit of venom to, you know, make their own food stop moving around so much, you know, so that they could eat them. But that's just
like liquefies the flesh, right?
Exactly. The venom helps to, yeah, liquefy, and it pretty much puts them out of their misery, but it helps to, so that they can, you know, they pretty much slurp it up through their mouth parts. He's doing it right now, which is so funny. But yeah, he has like one of their legs in his mouth. But yeah, so the venom is not for us. They're not the venom isn't created so that when they bite people, we can, you know, be liquefied. It's for their food specifically. And so they don't look at us as something that they even want to bite. Most of the time, if they don't want to be around you, they'll run away, but they're not going to jump on you and bite you, you know? So I've been happy that my page has slowly helped people to see that part of them for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so curious, what just came up for me is, are you feeding them live crickets?
Mm-hmm.
So how, like, your love for animals.
Yeah.
How does that work? I just know for myself, I'm like, that would be hard for myself.
Yeah. And you know, that's funny that you say that. Because with snakes, I love snakes, but I also love mice.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't have a snake
because
I don't want to feed them mice. Mm-hmm. And that's my sad reality is like, I just can't do it, but I think that the difference here is with crickets, they don't want to. It's there in the way that I process feeding my spiders because of the way that certain insects or bugs may or may not interact with us helps me to feel at least okay with, all right, I'm putting the cricket in there. Y'all go ahead and battle it out. Somebody's got to eat. I already know who's going to win, but I don't feel as, I don't know, like emotional about that process. I did have to go through that at first. First of all, I never even wanted to hold any kind of anything and feed anything to anything. But the fact that I've gotten to the point of being able to do that is like, I love my baby so much and they have to eat, you know, it's just what it is. But going into like a snake mice thing, I already know I love both and I can't. So falling in love with spiders was an accident. It just came with the fact that now they have to eat. So let the nature do its thing and I'll kind of be in the middle to help the process. But yeah, I've gotten used to it. It's not as hard. As it used to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious to know, what would you say one of your biggest proud moments is? This is one of the questions that Charity had. What is her biggest proud moment with her spiders? And what does she most regret?
I'll start with my regret because I know right away what that regret is. My regret when it comes to my spiders is that Opal, this is where I might get emotional. One moment. Okay. So my spider Opal, after I had Onyx and Rose, I ordered two more spiders, and that was Jade and Opal. They both arrived pregnant unexpectedly. I didn't know at the time that I was going to get them pregnant, but it's beautiful because now I've had all these babies that I've been able to like share with people around the world. But Opal was like really big compared to Onyx, Rose, and Jade. She was very aware. Very like she would be on her enclosure and like tilt backwards to kind of look at what was going on around because she had like a egg sac that she was, you know, protecting. But she was just very uniquely aware. And at the time I didn't know how to handle that mentally because she was just so big. And in my mind, I was taking that as like, you're aggressive. I'm scared of you. So for the first months that I had her, I never held her, even though I held, you know, Onyx and Rose. I didn't hold Jade yet at that time either, but she was guarding her babies. But my regret is that I didn't interact with Opal sooner because I feel like I missed out on like such a special bond. She was so unique. She was so precious and intelligent and aware. Uniquely compared to my other ones. And by the time I finally started holding her, she was only with us for like another month and a half. So I only interacted with her for such a short time. And so I regret not having connected with her, because I feel like it, like I said, it was a missed experience for both of us, that I was judging based on, you know, my own thinking of like, you're big and aggressive. The way that you look at me is aggressive. And it's like, no, I'm curious and I have a lot of thoughts and you can learn from me, you know? And I'm like, I missed that because of my prejudging, even though I had them, there was just, she was so different. I'm like, ooh, it's kind of like, and I should have just accepted the fact that she was unique and interacted with her. So I'm crying, but yeah, that would be my regret for sure. And something that I'm proud of is, I would just say on the other hand, something that I'm proud of in general is more in general is that I have become brave enough to conquer what would have been a fear before and now been able to embrace what these little babies give and also give it back to them and make them happy. And I can see that they're happy and I'm also allowing them to like give that to me, which is so, you know, in the past, I would say like would never happen, but I'm proud of myself for having conquered fears and misunderstandings and wrong perspectives to now being able to experience them and allow them to experience me. So that's what I have.
Thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably with us.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And I'm curious, how old do jumping spiders usually get?
They normally live around 2 years. In the wild, sometimes even less, depending. But like my two oldest spiders, Jade is about 2.5 years, and Rose is now about 2 years and 3 months old. So they're climbing up there. I think the longest living jumping spider was around 3 years. So I'm just going to enjoy them while I have them and see what happens. But I have a 145. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I have like, which is now. So if we have to close in a special way, if we could do that, because I'm already a little late, but
yeah,
I wanted to enjoy the time we had. So yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, by the way. I know we went way over, but it was such a beautiful conversation. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so
cool. You're welcome.
Let's finish it up with the three sacred questions.
Okay. Do you want to introduce those?
Yes.
Will it be pretty quick? I'm sorry.
Super
will it be
quick. Pretty okay. Super quick, yeah. So thank you so much, Tiana, for sharing with us. And oh my gosh, we are so, so grateful to have you.
We lost Hannah.
Oh, there you are.
Here I am. Go ahead. Okay. So now that we're at the end of our interview, we are always asking our guests three sacred questions and you can answer them in a short format. Are you ready? Beautiful. So what does sacred mean to you?
Sacred. Good question. Sacred to me means, man, that's deep. I can't answer that quickly. I can't answer that question quickly.
Even just one word is fine.
Sacred. Because it's bigger than special, you know, that doesn't describe sacred. Sacred is, it's, there's so much depth to that. Wait, it's not a one word answer. Mm-hmm. You're taking my brain down a path because, yes, if it's something as sacred, it's meaningful. It's almost not untouchable, but like guarded and valuable. Like there's so many, you know, my brain is like there, it's more than one word. It's sacred is very deep value, to something, you know, trustworthy and safe. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Who is a sacred sister to you, and what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
That's a hard one because I don't, I don't have one. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I, that's interesting that you asked that because of how I've been raised, I've kind of had to almost like teach myself, and I didn't really have a person that I have been that to other people, but I've never had that for me. Mm. And, you know, I've always been asked, you know, what is your why and who inspired that? But it's hard to say that I didn't have that in my life. There wasn't a person that did that for me. It was more me and my, you know, my relationship with God, but not like a person who motivated that, or there's not a person that I've been able to look up to in that way. So fortunately, that's what I can give you.
Totally. Even your spiders, I would say, sacred sisters. Beautiful.
Beautiful. And what would you say is a way to make something mundane and normal into something sacred and magical?
How to do that?
Yeah.
Pause and connect. Yeah. Mm.
So beautiful, Tiana. We want to thank you so much for coming onto our podcast, for sitting with us, and for every single one of you sacred beings who are still with us here at the end of the episode. We invite you, especially if you've never engaged with any of Tiana's content, please go and check her out at Tiana_thebuglady on TikTok, on Instagram, and just keep in the flow with these magical creatures. We thank you so much for joining us. Sacred Sister Podcast would not be what it is without you. Tiana, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence, and we hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, beloved. If you found the ideas, concept, message, and mission to be in alignment with what you want to see and hear rippling throughout the collective, for heaven's sake, we invite you to be a part of that ripple creation and share it with your sacred sisters, brothers, and beings alike. You have no idea the impact a simple share can make in someone's day, in their life, in their growth.
Another way to share your support is by leaving us a rating or review on the app you're tuning into this from. If your Instagram feed is in need of more uplifting, conscious, spiritual content, follow us at Sacred Sister Podcast. So, with that being said, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode. Namaste, beloved.
Bye.